want more. Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Hi, I'm your host, Jamal Conway, and this is Living in Your Body for Life. Today we will be talking about stress and fitness, and to help me in this is Mr. Clifton Satterfield, PE teacher and athletics director at St. Thomas the Apostle Elementary School. First question, why do you feel might sometimes be stressed?
Let's define stress.
You deal with peer pressure, you deal with fighting, you know, you got haters, then you got to fight them if they try to fight you. You deal with... You got to worry about your grades.
Stress is defined as the way the body and minds react to life's changes.
What kinds of things do you deal with as a teen in high school?
I deal with peer pressure, relationships, schoolwork, you know, teachers, everything like that.
Okay. How do you deal with the everyday stress of life?
I deal with it the best way I can. I just leave it up to God.
This is a time in teens' life that they are going through more changes than any other period in their lives.
What kind of things do you deal with as a teen in high school?
You deal with peer pressure, you know, you gotta deal with sexual activity, you gotta deal with, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, gang activity, smoking, drinking, all that.
Okay, how do you deal with the everyday stress of life?
I just get through it and try to ignore the super stuff, set aside what I know I'm not
going to
do
aside
from what I am
going to
do.
Okay. Do you encounter peer pressure?
Not often. I know how to say no if it's something that I know I really don't want to do. If it's something that I'm not sure about, then I won't really let it get to me, but I don't really encounter it.
Okay. How do you deal with relationships?
Well, I feel the relationship between friends and the relationship between boyfriend and girlfriend, two different things, but... Like, I feel if you're friends with somebody, you should never go against them. But if you're boyfriend or girlfriend, that's different because anything can happen.
How do you feel that they should deal with these stress?
Well, there are a number of ways that they can deal with stress. In talking with several teens, I hear several different things. One, I'd say certainly exercises and eating regularly. You know, you want to avoid substantial amount of caffeine intake, which can cause feeling of anxiety and agitation. You want to avoid illegal drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. You want to learn different types of relaxation techniques. You want to develop assertiveness. You want to learn practical coping skills. For example, you want to break larger tasks down into smaller, more attainable tasks. You want to decrease negative self-talk. You want to learn to feel good about doing a competent and good job or whatever you're doing, rather than trying to demand perfection from yourself and others all the time. You want to take a break from stressful situations. You know, you want to listen to music or do some of the things that are relaxing. Even if it's walking your dog, listening to music, art, reading a book.
How I deal with it is by writing my poems and relating to everything that goes on in my life to my poem.
I'm Cherish. I will be reciting to you a poem called Stress. It's hard to just be living a nice life, then all of a sudden, it just comes along to take it away from you. Why couldn't I see? All this time, it was me you was after, and that everyone wanted to be. Because of you, my dreams shattered. It no longer mattered. I couldn't even scatter my thoughts around. I mean, you had me depressed and down. I had locks of my hair coming out. My voice was gone. From the shouts, my eyes was all red and full with tears. My nights got dark and dull. My mornings was no longer happy. And every day I spent with you was tough. Yeah, it was rough, but I finally found my way through it. Yeah, I have to admit, I was pissed, but I got through it, and my blessings from the lessons that stress has caused has made me realize that I'm family free.
Now, if these things are done and they still don't relieve individuals of these stressful situations, or if the stressful situation is far more chronic than than they appear to be. They probably should seek professional counseling.
I've had teenagers talk to me about being involved in gangs and wanting to get out. I've talked to young ladies about being pregnant and even being mothers. I've talked to people about wanting to drop out of school and not feeling that it's worth it. So I've talked to students about a myriad of things, and normally we find some type of solution, whereas they are strengthened from my conversation and they are, you know, they feel better about themselves.
Hello, my name is Jerome Scarborough. Today our guest speaker will be Mrs. Jacqueline Scarborough Ackerson. She's a social worker at the Metropolitan Family Services. She has a master's degree in social work, and she is a licensed clinical social worker. So, Mrs. Scarborough.
Yes.
Could you please describe your job as a social worker?
I work with children and adolescents that are between the ages, I think the youngest client that I've had was 3 years old, and up to 17 years old. And it's a program for severely emotionally disturbed children and adolescents. So a lot of the things that I'm working with the kids and their families on happen to be issues around depression, around substance abuse, around physical or sexual abuse that they may have prior to coming to see me have been involved in. It may be anxiety, and a lot of things happen to be around stress in a lot of different areas.
I'm Joe from the road. Chi-town.
How about you, Joe?
17. Leo, brown eyes.
Okay. All right.
Good. Next.
Okay, first question is, what kind of things do you deal with as a teen in high school?
Drugs, fighting. That's about it.
How do you deal with the everyday life stress?
It's my life. That's how I do it.
Stress can be both positive and negative. Stress in and of itself is neutral. It's how you react to it, how you respond to it, that delineates whether it's positive or negative. Positive stress can be you being able to motivate yourself in a situation to get a task completed. When you feel a sense of control in it, it can also be something, you know, a lot of teens can relate to around school. You know, when you have that term paper that's due, or a presentation that you have to do, preparing for college, all those different things involve stress, but it's in a positive way because it's toward a greater situation, a greater outcome, when you feel mobilized to do those things. It can be negative stress when there's a sense of feeling threatened or out of control. So those are different situations where you may feel it, and sometimes you get into what's called a fight or flight situation. Some of it may be freezing up and not being able to respond to it. Some of it may be avoidance. Some may be, you know, let me get out of here as quickly as I can. So there's a lot of different things that go into stress.
So, do you think relationships also add on to stress? And if so, how would teen relationships play a part in that?
Again, stress is positive and negative. And so teen relationships, relationships in general, you know, they go both ways. So if you're in a positive relationship, you will feel supported, you'll feel nurtured, you'll feel respected, you'll feel loved. If you're in a relationship where there may be disrespect, there may be violence, there may be substance abuse, there's a lot of environmental things that may be going on to that, that's going to add to your level of stress, and it's going to affect your functioning on a day-to-day basis, just being able to do simple things. And then, you know, another thing with stress is it can affect your memory. You know, it can affect your being able to have balance. It just can kind of throw things off kilter if it's in a negative way.
Okay. So I heard you also talk about the environment. What other environment issues add on to stress?
Well, in addition to day-to-day things like family, parent-child issues, peer relations, There's also the environmental things, things that you do not have a control over. That could be if there's gang violence, if there's pressure to join gangs, if there's drugs in your community, if there's things that are going on that you just can't get a grip on and you can't change, that can be something that adds to it. And it's a way of managing what those issues are and recognizing how much control you have over the situation. Some things like gang violence or drugs, on a day-to-day basis, when some people are going to bed, that's what they hear. They hear gunshots at night. They know that there are things going on in their environment, and it's a safety issue. It's a matter of life and death. There's danger involved in it. And in some situations, well, initially, you know, there's that it's a negative stress. You're reacting to those things, and you have physical and emotional things that go along with that, which we call those somatic type of complaints. Those are the physical things that can be brought on. And over a period of time, if a person is put in that situation and it lasts long enough, then you kind of become desensitized, unfortunately. But it's a coping mechanism.
So what do you mean by desensitized?
Desensitized is when you are exposed to something so long that your body and your mind's way of dealing with it is having it become normal. It's almost like background normal, background noise. It becomes natural. And that's a coping mechanism. That's when your body starts to take, your mind takes over to take care of you. And so things like that, it becomes a way of coping with that. And of course you want to stay away from any kind of situations like that. Avoiding being in, you know, being out at certain times of night, obviously, trying to avoid those particular people.
Okay, so if left unattended long term, what could some of the effects be of stress?
Some of that can lead into depression. And when you get into major depression, that's when you have a combination of the change in eating and sleeping where you sleep more or less, insomnia, hypersomnia. When you have a change in appetite, eating more or less. When you may feel more tearful, you know, you cry about just about on a daily basis. You may feel like hurting yourself. You know, that's another sign of depression, feeling hopeless and helpless that things are not going to change in your life. Being disinterested in things that you used to enjoy. You know, watching TV, hanging out with family and friends, listening to music, if you're a creative person, making things, doing things, just things that you used to do, it just, you know, there's no interest in it anymore. That's something else that goes along with depression. It can also be anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, people sometimes have panic attacks. There's physical complaints where you may have gastrointestinal stomach problems, where you can get into ulcers as well.
Some more tips that you can give us on being able to deal with our stress in general?
Well, first and foremost, it's recognizing that you have stress. And that's one of the things that's difficult to do sometimes because we're so bombarded with things. There's so many things going on that you're trying to deal with and balance. From, again, going back to school with classwork, the academic things, preparation for graduation, peer pressure, gang violence, prom. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going on. And so it's recognizing what is the trigger, what is the thing that's setting me off. Okay. Then it's partializing it, meaning you're breaking it down into smaller chunks. You want to think about it as cake. I love cake. You're cutting it up into pieces,
right.
You know, and so you're making it more manageable. You can't, I've seen people do it. You know, where you take a big chunk of cake and you just stuff as much of it as you can in your mouth, that's when it gets to be overwhelming. It's too much to manage. It's just, it's excessive. So you want to break it down into smaller chunks and partialize it. These are the things that are bothering me. These are the things that bring it on. And so now that I have this, I can make a goal how do I, now that I've identified it, how do I find out what brings these things on now that I know what brings it on? Okay, now here's the game plan, you know, strategy. It can be talking with other people, people that you really trust, that you know that are gonna be a positive influence, are gonna give you good sound advice. If it's your parents, if it's a responsible friend, if it's a counselor at school, if it's one of your teachers, if it's an aunt, an uncle, someone like that, if it's your minister, a police officer, I mean, just different people that are in your network of day-to-day life, it's talking to them. It's also taking self-care, which means one of the ways to relieve stress is exercise too. It's taking all that stuff that's rising up and putting it into a physical activity.
So basically just finding something healthy to do.
Yeah, it can be biking, it can be running, it can be jogging, dancing. It could be carpentry, it could be pottery, it can be any of those things, those kind of things. In addition to eating healthy, surrounding yourself with positive people, and knowing that you don't have the answers to everything, and you're not in control of everything, and being able to look outside of yourself, knowing that you have strengths to deal with things, and not being helpless, there's a sense of control, a loci of control, but when it gets to be overwhelming.
Here's a question for some people I know they have.
Okay. You know,
if you can't leave a dangerous situation at home, what would you advise that person to do?
Well, first is also a first assessing the level of danger in the house. I'm assuming you're talking about if there's domestic violence between parents, if there is child abuse taking place, and you know we're talking about teens, so I'm assuming that you're talking about maybe 15 and up or 13 and up. In those situations, it's best to again involve other resources. If you're in the midst of a violent situation, first and foremost, I tell anyone, contact the police, because you want to put that safety net in there. And you want to put someone that's in there or people that are in there that are going to have a certain amount of control to decrease the amount of aggression or chaos that's taking place. If it's a situation where there's not actively you being in the midst of that situation taking place, yeah, I would say to involve, again, resources outside of the home. If that's the counselor at school, I mean, I'm saying this over and over, but these are strong resources to tap into. Your counselor at school, a teacher that you have a good rapport with, a good relationship with, other family members, to see if they have some influence over the situation that's going on. But it's also trying to be as far away, if you're in the home and something like that is going on and you're not a part of it, if it's domestic violence, it's you, as much as you want to get involved in that situation, as much as you want it to stop, as much as you feel like if I pull mom and dad apart or I pull these people apart, I can save everybody. You know, that theoretically it's what everyone thinks of as a good situation. It's immediate, but you can actually in fact be putting yourself
in danger.
So it's assessing the level of risk, seeing about getting other people involved, keeping yourself as safe as possible.
Now there's one more thing. I know this is something a lot of teens do not like to talk about, but how would you tell a teen to deal with sexual abuse?
You know, that's a really complicated thing, because sexual abuse and physical abuse, I mean, these are very serious stressors to deal with. And that can get into, I think I mentioned earlier in the segment, post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's an anxiety-driven type of disorder that's brought on by exposure to a traumatizing situation, which is physical abuse, sexual abuse, or witnessing something that is catastrophic. And that goes along with dealing with untreated stress. It is one, recognizing that what has occurred is not your fault. So it's a matter of saying, this is something that's happened. It happened to me. It doesn't define me. It's not my fault. Looking at self-esteem issues, because it really gets into self-esteem, how you feel about yourself. It also brings about fear. It could be toward the abuser, or there's something called hypersensitivity to other situations. I mean, there's that I got to be on guard all the time. I got to take care of me. I got to protect myself because I wasn't protected before. And so sometimes you may misread situations that you're in because you're in that fight or flight, got to protect myself mode.
So never letting your body rest.
Yeah, never letting your guard down either. Sometimes you might misinterpret what other people are saying just because I got to keep that up. I got to keep that wall up, that guard around me. Talk is the main thing that I say. Right. Making sure you involve other people as a teenager because you're in that in-between mode. You know, you're not a child anymore, but you're not quite an adult. So it's kind of like you put your foot in the water, you take it out. I'm not a kid. I'm not an adult. I don't know where I am. Kind of trying to fit in. And so it's recognizing that you can help yourself as much as possible by talking to other people. Again, the major thing is recognizing that it's not your fault.
Right.
And not taking on the responsibility of the victimizer, or the perpetrator rather. You know, not taking on that role of saying, I allowed this to happen, it's my fault. You know, there are a variety of things that come into that situation. Some kids are threatened. And even if it may happen if you're a small child, you have that tape recorder that's in your head. And those things are replayed over and over again. So
having to live with.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, there are nightmares that come along with it. Sometimes there's some people self-injure, you know, as a way to cope with sexual abuse. Some people use drugs. It's self-medication. You know, they're feeling depression. I don't like the way I'm feeling. It hurts too much. I can't get this out of my head. I can't sleep at night because these thoughts keep intruding in my mind. I don't feel hungry anymore, and I withdraw. I mean, there's so many things, and I don't want to simplify it into this is all you feel because everybody's individual. But those are just some of the things that people may feel when they've been sexually abused. And again, talk. And finding someone that is going to respect and validate how you're feeling.
I think I'm losing. I think I feel I should no longer live. Why me? Why didn't I see? I lived my whole 16 years just for me to shed tears. I'm feeling lost and confused. I really don't know what to do. I feel my body has lost its spirit and wisdom. I have lost my train of thought. I have fought and fought all my problems, but I see I'm getting nowhere. How could I bear? It's like staring into a deep, long stare that has no glare. I see only darkness in my vision. Is it my decision, or am I gonna let the stress get into my sight? You think I might? But I can't just live my life in a dark hole because stress might have stabbed me in the back with a knife. I could be dead right now. Well, I can take this as a lesson and work harder for a blessing. You see, stress can make you feel down and gone. But if you have people who care, just know someone will always be there, no matter where, no matter where, whether it's God or someone at your home. Never say you can't deal with stress, because somewhere down the line, you will succeed in a success.
Bring them back to the stage. Stay home. Come on, say it.